Today on Maine Calling, the debate over the new generation of license plate readers. Automated license plate reading cameras are nothing new. For decades, law enforcement agencies all over the world have used them for traffic enforcement and to solve serious crimes. But now, people are pushing back against their use. The latest generation of license plate readers, known as flock cameras, can collect vast amounts of data, analyze, and share it. That has many people worried about privacy infringements. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will explore the different facets of the conversation about flock cameras. We will also have an update on the deadly shooting this morning in Biddeford that reportedly involved federal immigration agents. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine. Now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We will be talking today about so-called flock cameras, the latest generation of license plate surveillance cameras, and why they're so controversial. But first, as you just heard from Erwin Gratz, a young man is reportedly dead after a shooting involving immigration agents in Biddeford. Maine Public reporter Peter McGuire is one of our reporters covering this story. Peter, what do we know at this point?
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me. It's still really unclear. We know that one person is apparently fatally shot during an ICE operation in Biddeford. This happened at what seems to be happened at the intersection of Poole and Hill Streets, which is quite near the downtown in a pretty working class neighborhood. The details are very sketchy. I was down there this morning. The police have it blocked off for about a block on each direction or on each side of the incident. And I think details are just coming in as we know more.
Yeah. And Peter, what time did this happen?
Again, this is unclear, but it sounds from witnesses we've talked to around 8 a.m. this morning.
All right. And you said you've talked to witnesses. I'm imagining people there are feeling pretty shaken up.
Yeah, people are very shaken up. I talked to one neighbor who lives right around the corner from where this happened. She said that ICE had been in the neighborhood for a few days doing operations, apparently detaining people. But she was incredibly upset. And I think everyone here is really shaken up.
All right. And so many things we don't know. We don't know who this person was who was shot. We don't know his or her nationality. We've heard young man from an immigrants rights group. Is there anything else that we know that we can share?
It does, from video that was captured on the scene and from some photos, it seems the car was involved. There's a small white sedan there that seems to have gunshot holes through the front windshield. And there's video of what appear to be agents trying to open the door while it's in movement. But again, this is all unconfirmed, and it's really unclear what the details are at the moment.
Peter, thank you for taking the time to call into Maine Calling. And Peter McGuire, one of many Maine Public Radio reporters on the scene today, and of course, we'll be following this throughout the day and on Maine Calling again tomorrow. Thank you again, Peter McGuire. Turning now to our conversation about flock cameras, and immigration enforcement is part of this conversation. Joining me for the hour, John Kilbride, who is chief of the police department for the town of Falmouth, Alicia Ray, policy fellow with ACLU Maine, and Elise Tipton, mayor of the city of South Portland. We invite you to join the conversation. What have you heard about flock cameras? Has your town been debating whether or not to use them? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, thank you all for joining us. Like so many things, this is an issue not just here in Maine, but all over the country. Chief Kilbride, I would like you to just explain to me what the difference is between this latest generation of surveillance cameras and what we're all familiar with. Anybody who's watched a British detective show on television knows how important surveillance cameras can be in helping solve a crime. And they've been used not just in England for a long time, but surveillance cameras have been used here in the U.S. without controversy mainly. What's different today? What's different about these?
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on today with this wonderful cast of experts. The license plate reading systems have been around for years. I've been in the business for 29 years, and I remember South Portland introducing it about 20, 25 years ago on their vehicles, you know, for the mall area. So it's not old technology. License plate readers have been here for quite some time. I think what is new is the Flock system that we currently use for another month, and we're transitioning to an Axon system. But the Flock system has created some national debate with the sharing component of it. I get it's kind of unsettling when you go through an intersection and there's a camera there. There's cameras everywhere. But I get that it's a little unsettling. But I think the technology has really evolved itself with the sharing component of it. Who's, for me anyways, the discussions I've had at the local level is, you know, who's getting the information and how are you managing this information? What are you doing with this information? So there's been a lot of healthy discussions and questions raised around that, which is wonderful. We always enjoy talking about that. But I think that's where it's at right now. And AI being introduced into this information gathering where years ago, the AI wasn't even heard of.
Yeah, so what we might be familiar with is a police officer sitting at a desk, looking through, fast-forwarding through some footage, looking for something, a car to cross an intersection or something like that. That is not what this does, right, Chief Kilbride?
Correct. It's photographs of the alphanumeric numbers on a plate. It just stores it in under state law. It's for 21 days, and then it gets purged. So it's a tool. It's not the tool. It runs in the background, at least for this police agency. And that's what I'm speaking about, how we operate. So it stays in the background. And if we have an incident, we have a crime. It is thoroughly documented that when we go into research as an assistant tool to help us solve that crime, that's all documented with the individual, with the case number, and we have an audit trail for that. So it lies in the background. There's no one sitting behind a desk staring at it. We go to it if we have an incident that warrants us looking at it.
So for example, if you're looking for a suspect in something, you may go to your Flock system and ask it, put in the license plate number of this person and say, where has this person been? Has this person been in Falmouth in the last 21 days?
Yeah. So if we had a robbery, we had a plate number, we could enter that plate number into the system. It would tell us and show an image of that plate going through that particular location where the camera is set at that particular time. And that's it. There's no photograph of the driver. It's just that vehicle was here at that particular point. It is a piece in the investigation, and sometimes it serves as a critical piece in breaking that investigation open.
All right. I'll turn to you, Alicia. The ACLU, among the organizations really concerned about these, is it all surveillance cameras or specifically this brand, Flock?
That's a great question, Jennifer. So we are concerned about all automated license plate readers because they aren't simply cameras. These are high-powered AI surveillance systems, as the chief was just saying, and they record where people travel. And the difference from previous technology to this new technology is we create that record, and the new systems create searchable national databases of our movements, which are putting our First and Fourth Amendment rights at risk. So this conversation is not really about whether the police can or should investigate crime. It's about whether the government should be able to collect this location information about everyone all the time, regardless of whether they're suspected of wrongdoing or not.
And I'm wondering how you see this as violating the First Amendment, the freedom of speech.
Sure. So this is often overlooked when we're talking about automated license plate readers or ALPRs, but people behave differently when they know they're being watched or tracked. There's this great quote from the security technologist, Bruce Snyder, who says, "Think about how you feel when a police car is driving right alongside you. And now imagine feeling that way all the time." And that's the reality of how people are going to feel and how their behavior is going to change if we build out a mass surveillance or mass ALPR network here in Maine. That's
Okay,
going to impact
you use
if
the
people.
acronym ALPR. That stands for Automated License Plate Reader. I
It
know that this
does.
is an acronym we'll probably be using again during this program. I want to be clear that people know what it is. Elise, as mayor of South Portland, you found yourself right in the middle of this. Chief Kilbride mentioned that South Portland's been using surveillance cameras that read license plates for a long time out in the Main Mall area. What did you learn when you first came to the mayor's office, about how these cameras are being used, and what did you learn from police, and then what happened, after that?
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for inviting me. Before I say anything else, I would like to take a moment to express pride and gratitude in the South Portland City staff, in our police department, and in our residents, because during this difficult and controversial discussion, everyone maintained a lot of respect for one another. And I think it was, in some ways, the best of what democracy can look like at the local level. The first time that I heard about these cameras was during our budget process a couple of years ago, and we did not really discuss, we the council, the intricacies of these cameras. We heard about them and they sounded like a reasonable thing. The police were in favor of us passing them for a budget, and we simply passed the budget. It was this year that this became a difficult issue for the council. And I think it's because there are legitimate concerns and values in conflict. On the one hand, our police department sincerely believes the cameras help solve crimes. Our police chief directly said that to us and said, in fact, they save lives. And on the other hand, we had a remarkable number of residents who were very concerned about privacy and constitutional rights and civil rights. And basically, it became a debate on what kind of community we want South Portland to be.
And where is South Portland today on this? You said there was a debate. Has South Portland passed a new law?
We did not have to pass a law. In fact, this came up this year because the decision was whether we would continue to vote for a budget in support of the contract with Flock. But we voted to terminate the conflict on June 11. The cameras were immediately deactivated, and then about 10 days later, they were removed.
All right. Chief Kilbride, you mentioned that in Falmouth you are transitioning away from the Flock brand into another brand. I think you said it's Axon. What is the difference and why the change?
Well, it's financially driven. We're gonna right now we have two systems in play, our Axon system, which is manages our body, our cruiser cameras, all our evidence, video evidence. Our LPR systems are in our cars, which are Axon, And our static cameras are in two locations in the community, the flock cameras. So we're able to, we were up for a contract, a renegotiation. We were serving out a 5-year contract, and we were looking into expanding that for a 10-year contract. So we were having some really nice discussions with the council on that. We figured that we were going to continue with the Axon product and canceling our flock system and rolling into an Axon system puts everything under one ecosystem. We're able to financially do it at least half the price for what we were paying for the flock system. And you know, like anything I do out here, there's an evaluation of any technology that I apply for public safety. And we look at that, whether it's the license plate reading systems or drone systems or anything along that, what the return on investment is. So, you know, if we're not seeing a good public safety response for the money that we've invested in the system, we can stop it at any time.
And you mentioned two surveillance cameras. So these are not all over the place in Falmouth. These are in two public locations.
Correct. And I think for your listeners out there, for communities that have this technology or looking at this technology, I think the big question you need to do is, the advice of Alicia, make sure you have some great policy in play, ask good questions, but ask your police chief, why do you want to utilize these? What are you trying to address? Where are you putting these? If you told me saying, Chief, hey, we want 15 of these up, I would push back on that. We have two locations that are critical locations that we've identified, and we have a laundry list of issues on why we want them there. So I think the public should ask their police chiefs those questions on why you want this system, what are you trying to address, what does it cost, what's the return in investment? And yes, those conversations for those folks who aren't easy with this, how they're going to manage that. What's the policy? What's the training? What's the oversight?
It seems to me, Alicia, that one of the many layers of issues here is trust and whether communities trust their police departments to use these cameras only as they describe them.
I think that's part of it, and we have seen quite a few examples of abuse of these systems. There's been law enforcement misuse in the context of domestic violence and stalking. There's been a number of both charges and arrests and convictions of law enforcement officers who have misused their LPR systems.
And to be clear, not in Maine, in other states.
Not in Maine, to be clear, but in other contexts. There's also been hacks and breaches. No company is immune from cybersecurity risks, and you can't leak information that was never collected. So, if LPR companies are not collecting our location information, then it can't be disclosed in a hacker breach. And then we have even more nefarious situations, such as we have discovered over time that there was a case where a sheriff from Texas called around looking at LPR data in Illinois and Massachusetts, looking for a woman who left the state of Texas pregnant and came back not pregnant. And that violates both of those states' healthcare shield laws. In the context of abortion, we were just talking about ICE in Biddeford and the situation unfolding there. Here in Maine, we're having the implementation of our new ICE outlaws coming at the end of June, where local and state law enforcement will be prohibited from collaborating with federal immigration officials. So, if law enforcement are using their ALPRs to collaborate with immigration officials, for enforcement after the end of July, that's going to be a violation of those new laws.
Elise, I think we have an understanding of at least the very basics of sort of both sides of this controversial issue. What was the thing that tipped the city council in South Portland to decide against the continuation of the use of this kind of system?
Thank you for asking that. Our vote at the council level was 5-2, 5 voting to remove the cameras and discontinue the contract. So not everyone felt the same way. I think as we listened and we learned more, we realized this wasn't just a question of whether the cameras could help the police, because I think we believed that the cameras can help the police. But we realized that it was a question about whether South Portland should participate in a growing number, or a growing network rather, of continuous surveillance that's operated through a private company, and a company without a good reputation, a company that has proven to not do what it says it's going to do in some contracted situations, and a company that is going to make millions more by collecting as much data as possible. The world wants data. And it seemed, I think, to many of the counselors that supporting this was a poor idea, especially without the permission of our residents to keep track of their movements 24 hours a day and at 7 different locations in our city.
Well, we do need to take another break. So many more questions I have, and I know you do too. Our phone number is 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What data can automated license plate readers collect, and what happens to that information? We're examining why the use of these surveillance cameras has become controversial. My guest, Alicia Ray, policy fellow with the ACLU Maine, Mayor Elise Tipton of South Portland, and Falmouth Chief of Police John Kilbride. Join the conversation. What do you want to know about how these work? Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Chad Marlowe, who is Senior Counsel for ACLU National. Thanks for giving us a call, Chad. And I'm wondering about the national perspective there. Tell me what's going on nationally. How many communities are grappling with this decision about whether or not to allow license plate reading cameras in their communities?
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. And the simple answer to that is more than I can count. In the last 13 months alone, we've seen, by my personal count in the ACLU's, at least 55 different jurisdictions throughout the country canceling or deciding not to renew their FLOT contracts. And I have to think, you know, the number that are actually undertaking this examination following the rest of these cities is in the hundreds, if not the thousands.
And Chad, is it this one brand in particular, the FLOC, that you're particularly concerned about?
So I think it's this one brand, Flock, that the public in general is most concerned about. They have kind of galvanized the public around the risks of ALPRs. But unfortunately, the kind of bad news is there are a couple of other big companies right behind them. One was mentioned earlier on this broadcast, Axon. The other is Motorola Vigilant, that are marginally better than Flock in some ways, and in some other ways worse than Flock. So I think that while it has been helpful to have this one company kind of galvanize public response, I think it's important for the public to realize that the real threat here is automatic license plate readers and not just flock safety.
All right. And Chad, are you also concerned with the license plate readers that catch speeders on the highway, or is that sort of a whole nother conversation?
So I think those are different, and it's, I'm really glad you asked the question, because what you might call automatic enforcement technologies, which can be your speed cameras or your red light cameras, those only turn on and take a picture when someone actually violates the law, so actually runs a red light or is speeding. Whereas with automatic license plate readers, they record every vehicle every time. So you know, one is only focused on capturing evidence of a violation of the law, while the other, the automatic license plate readers, captures everyone everywhere they go, even if you've done nothing wrong.
Chad, let me ask you sort of the big question here. I mean, I think everyone wants the police to be able to solve crimes, especially things like Police Chief Kilbride mentioned a robbery. Why not give police officers tools that will help them.
Well, I think that's a very important and very fair question, and people should have conversations about that. But I think it's important to understand that license plate readers can actually operate in two distinct ways. The first is when a license plate is scanned, that license plate is run against hot lists, which are lists of cars that are of interest to the police. It can be because they were engaged in a robbery. It can be because the license plate is on an Amber Alert. And that data can be compared in seconds, which is why your neighbor directly to the west, New Hampshire, has a data retention limit on its ALPRs of 3 minutes, because it wants its ALPRs being used to identify cars of interest to the police. Very little objection to that being done. The other is this kind of, well, you never know scenario, which is we are scanning most cars, and we know that most cars are not involved in criminal activity, but we want to keep that data for a month or more because any one of us theoretically could be a criminal, so why not create a movement dossier on all of us just in case? I think it's that second category where you have real pushback, because typically in this country, we only investigate people after we suspect they've committed a crime. We don't investigate them beforehand just in case they end up doing that. And so if we're talking about identifying cars right away that are involved in a robbery, I think there's very little pushback to that kind of instantaneous searching. But it's this keeping the travel records on all of us all the time for a month or more, which is where the real concern is. And so, yes, any one of us, you, Jennifer, me, could be a robber, but we would probably prefer not to be tracked as if we were a robber unless the police have significantly more substantial grounds, or what you call in the legal area, probable cause to think we've actually committed a crime.
Well, Chad, thanks so much for taking the time to call in today. Chad Marlowe is with the National ACLU. And Chief Kilbride, I want to turn to you and see what your response is to Chad's concerns.
Well, yeah, he makes great points. But the driving force, Jennifer, for me as a police chief for Falmouth was in 2023, the evening of the Lewiston shootings. And, you know, we had 18 people murdered, another 13 wounded. And I was working that evening and we were sending resources to Lewiston. And for several hours, 15, 18 hours, we knew who the suspect was. We knew the vehicle that he was driving, and we didn't have LPR systems in our car, and we didn't have anything here, static cameras or anything along those lines. And we didn't know where he was going to emerge again. And I didn't know if he was going to end up in Falmouth with a target in Falmouth. So we had as many people as we could out moving around. And I said, you know, we've got to have something that helps us, that we could put this plate in and give our officers indication if they enter our community. And that's the strength. I think the first part of the gentleman that was just on was talking about, that was the driving force for me, is after the Lewiston shooting and during the Lewiston shooting, the Maine Information Analysis Center, MIAC, was releasing and still does numerous bulletins out there of people who are, you know, we would get threats that they were going to go shoot up a school in Southern Maine, that they had a gun, that they, you know, they're going to confront, you know, have a confrontation with the police. So all this information comes in and goes right back out again. So we use that information. We enter the plates into the LPR system. That is the strength for us, is that we're looking to, and I'm putting my officers in greater harm. I can tell you that departments that have LPR systems are putting their officers in a high risk, because we're asking them to confront something before it gets to where they're going. So I would rather have them confronted on Route 1 than in a lobby in a school somewhere. And that's what these systems allow us to do. Yes, it can identify a stolen vehicle. It's a property crime. I get it. If it's your vehicle, you're pretty upset with it. But the strength for me, and these are questions that I think folks should ask their police chiefs, what they're trying to address in their community, was based out of that Lewiston shooting. How can we identify immediate threats to the public that enter Falmouth? For me, it's entering Falmouth, and how can I get resources to engage that and to stop them before they get to where they're going? So I agree that he made some good points there.
Turning now to Alex Redfield, who's a community organizer with the organization No Flock for SoPo. Thanks so much for calling in, Alex. We've already heard from your mayor a little bit about what happened in South Portland. And I'm wondering why this issue rose to the top for you so much so that you became involved in this.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I think to answer that question, starting back in January when there was a big surge of ICE enforcement in South Portland and neighboring communities, mobilizing a lot of folks that wanted to protect our neighbors and make sure that our communities were still felt as a place that was safe and welcoming. When that sort of buzz of initial activity in January died down, immediately we started to see a lot of headlines that sort of pointed community advocates towards the role of these cameras. Some of those headlines were national, where we learned about how Flock and other similar ALPR vendors were sharing their data either explicitly or implicitly with ICE and other immigration agencies that were using those license plate data points to figure out where they could target other innocent people. And then other headlines were more local when we read about in the Press Herald about text messages between our police department and the federal counterparts that were here in January. So in this moment, when we learned about the budget item to expand the contract and add an eighth camera, there was a lot of emotion. And this was a time where I and others thought that what we really needed to do was start rebuilding trust and starting to really think about what public safety looks like and what a South Portland looks like that is protecting all of its residents. And on a day like today, you can certainly see how, in addition to figuring out which tools are the best or most effective at solving some crimes, there's also some questions that I would suggest public safety officials need to be asking their community, which is, what does public safety look like? What does it feel like to be in a place where you can trust law enforcement and you can feel protected by the folks who are charged to do that? So it was it's sort of both a national phenomenon and really local at the same time. And I think that was part of what galvanized so many community members to speak up and get engaged in the process.
Alex, thank you for calling in. That's Alex Redfield, who's a community organizer in South Portland. We're going to go to Gorham and John. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. A couple years ago, I was in New Zealand for an entire year. I was working down there for the United States government at a traffic circle just outside of Wellington, New Zealand. In New Zealand, they have cameras every quarter of a mile, especially at the traffic circles. At a traffic circle, I stopped and I proceeded into the traffic circle and got hit in the side of my car. In New Zealand, if you don't stop and you're hit in those traffic circles, you're arrested on the spot. And if it wasn't for the traffic camera, I would have been arrested. So I am highly in favor of those traffic cameras.
All right. Alicia, is what John is talking about the same thing we're talking about when we're talking about the Flock cameras?
So that sounds more like an automated traffic enforcement camera, which is not quite the same as an automated license plate reader. The automated license plate readers are, as Chad from ACLU National was just explaining, are just kind of sitting in the background, always watching, never blinking, never going home. And this is why they are different than an officer out on patrol watching a car. And that's why we have concerns with threats to privacy, threats to your Fourth Amendment, and threats to your First Amendment. ALPRs changed the nature of surveillance because they're allowing the government to record everyone, store that information, and then retroactively search those travel patterns and reconstruct where someone has been over time. So that's where our concerns lie.
John, thanks for your call. Michael on Facebook says, oh, Elise, go ahead, Mayor Tipton.
I just wanted to respond a little bit to what John and others said, in that the it was such a difficult thing for our council to do, to regard the what we were hearing from our police about how they actually use these cameras in helping them solve crimes. And yet, as elected officials, we really had to listen to our community. And I just wanted to make sure that that point was understood, because in part, some of the emotion that we were hearing from our residents is, I think, really tied to fear that they have about losing constitutionally protected privacy and civil rights and liberties, because it is a fear that has come from actions they're seeing at the federal level.
And Chief Kilbride, do you share concerns that even though you may trust your officers to not share this data, that somehow Flock or Axon in the future may use it in a way that you do not approve of?
Well, we're told that with Flock right now, we don't share our data. We only share it with four entities. It used to be five. South Portland's no longer active. So we share it with York, Freeport, Auburn, and Scarborough. That's where we share it with, just the main entities. What we've learned in using Flock is the information that we've got, the investigations that we've managed, is local. We really haven't initially when we got it, you can go nationwide. You would search it nationwide where this vehicle could have been, and you're investigating a crime. We didn't use that. So, and then it was getting ground swelling on controversy. So it's our information. It stays here. We do share with those agencies. That's it in Maine, because we're dealing with Maine issues. When we go to Axon, I think we're just going to keep everything right here in house.
So does that mean people who work for the company do not have access to the data you have collected?
That's what they have assured us. Yes.
Alicia.
So I think that is helpful information to know who Falmouth PD is sharing their data with. What I will also note is that through our public records request process here at the ACLU of Maine, what we have been told by Freeport Police Department and Scarborough Police Department, which Chief Kilbride just said they have access to Falmouth PD's data, Scarborough PD has absolutely no memorandum of understanding. They've told us they have no written documentation about any sort of agreement, no parameters, nothing written down about their access to that data and what it means. They have no policy. It could be shared with anyone. And so we just don't know. So there's a lot of faith and trust being put in that flow of data from Falmouth PD to Scarborough. Same with Freeport. We don't know where it ends up once it leaves Falmouth.
And Chief, do you share that concern?
Well, Scarborough can't share our data. So we do share with those agencies, and that's it.
All right. Yeah. Well, we do need to take another quick break. So many questions coming in. We're talking about the use of what people refer to as Flock cameras, what people in the biz call ALPRs, automatic license plate readers. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about Flock cameras, also known as automated license plate readers. Why are they so controversial? And what are their potential benefits and what are their potential drawbacks? With me, South Portland Mayor Elise Tipton, Falmouth Police Chief John Kilbride, and Alicia Ray from the ACLU in Maine. Share your comments and questions. A brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or try to call. Our lines are full, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Northport and Jay. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious, I understand the concerns around privacy, but every one of us generally carries around, a tool in our pockets, our cell phones, that can be used for a lot of tracking. I guess my question is both for people who are concerned about, the ability to reconstruct someone's movements. I think, when you download an app on your phone and you grant location access, there's a lot of people out there that already have access to location data. And so kind of where do people tend to draw the line? Is it just because these cameras are, a physical separate entity that people can see and push back against? But our phones already collect and transmit you know, way more data to, you know, potentially less savory entities that may, you know, use it so that you have access to like a calculator application or something, you know. So I definitely
yeah,
hear,
Jay.
You know,
I think you make against, you raise a really important question. I mean, we're talking about these cameras, but we're living in a world where people have glasses that record information, where everybody has a smartphone, where people own drones. I mean, Alicia, part of me thinks, is this conversation on some level a little like putting your finger in the dike?
Sure, that is a really great question. And the Supreme Court actually just about a week ago recently decided a case called Chatry versus the United States. And that case ends up saying in the most succinct way possible that when the government obtains detailed records of where people have traveled over time, that is a Fourth Amendment violation. And just to quick constitutional law lesson, the Fourth Amendment protects people against unreasonable searches by the government. So think about why the police cannot just come into your home without a warrant. That's the Fourth Amendment. The problem we have here is it's a private company collecting the data for the government. It's the government use that we're concerned about here. So if Google is collecting your location on your phone and then handing it over to the government, that's the bridge that we're talking about here.
All right, Jay, thank you for your call. Michael on Facebook writes, by default, Flock data is deleted after, however, in its terms of use, Flock has a right to use all data in perpetuity. So it's likely they'll be storing, selling, distributing, and disclosing any data or footage of civilians as long as Flock can find a way to monetize it. I believe the town or city that contracts with Flock also owns the recording data. So any recordings from any Flock camera should be accessible to the public via FOIA request for free, right? So Chief Kilbride, if somebody sends a FOIA request to the Falmouth Police Department asking for information from the Flock camera, where does that fall legally?
Yeah, so, well, we would have to take it on an individual basis and review that. But anecdotally, we don't release information. We don't look at it unless we've got an active case. So we wouldn't probably release that information.
All right. Let's see. We'll go to Maggie calling from York. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I want to go back to the shooting in Biddeford. We don't know anything except it was in a car. And so how much of this information was gotten through the license plate number? And then you have ICE shooting somebody in a residential area, which is calm, and people being scared. And why do these people have guns? And I love our police force.
Maggie, I think that you're raising a lot of really important questions, and these are questions that the reporters on the scene are trying to answer right now. I don't think our panel has those answers for you, but I'm sure that many people share those same questions that you have. Let's see. We'll go up to York and Torbert. Hi, Torbert. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jennifer and guest. I think we're all dancing around the issue the real issue, which is that the federal government is building a massive database. AT&T is the carrier that does IT data analytics and networking, and including tracking people around the country on behalf of ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. I don't see any way that any local effort to isolate data has any true meaning when, for example, there's an app used by ICE called Mobile Fortify, which is basically a database of 200 million photographs of U.S. People. And at the flick of a camera, an ICE agent can add to it or refer whoever they're photographing to search that database and see what else is going on.
Torbert, thank you. And I want to turn to our mayor here, Mayor Tipton, and say, is there some thought that maybe what South Portland is done is it really isn't going to make that much difference in the end?
Meaning what we have done by removing the cameras?
Yes, yes. Like, is it, will it really change the future in terms of surveillance in America?
I doubt that South Portland's action is going to change the future of surveillance in America. I do think that our own residents expressed over and over again that they were uncomfortable with the cameras recording the movements of thousands of innocent people every day. And so to the extent that they are feeling like this is no longer part of their daily lives, it is changing a feeling in South Portland. I want to say how difficult this was because our residents expressed their appreciation of the police. The counselors obviously expressed our appreciation and respect for the chief and his officers. And we knew that they genuinely felt this technology was helpful to them, but the broader community rejected it.
All right. Alicia, I know you want to go back to the question of a FOIA request, people who, members of the public or members of the media who request information from their government that the government is required by law to give them.
Absolutely. It was a great question from that listener. So under the Maine ALPR statute, in combination with our Freedom of Access Act statute, the ACLU of Maine has been doing those FOIA requests, and license plate information must be kept kept confidential unless requested by another law enforcement agency. But the other part of that statute says that you can get the other information that these ALPR systems are collecting and retaining. So the ACLU of Maine has made FOIA requests. Falmouth PD and Lewiston PD have complied with those requests. And that information, those audit logs, are available on our website.
So what do you mean by that when you say information other than the license plate, when we're talking about license plate readers?
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question. So the information that has been disclosed includes the users of that system. So what PD is actually searching the system, as Chief Kilbride mentioned, there's other organizations that do these searches. You can see what time they did the search. You can see the reason why they did the search as well. Are they searching for a robbery, as Chief Kilbride mentioned, or is it something to do with drugs and narcotics, things like that? If you head to our website at aclumaine.org/flock, F-L-O-C-K, you can see we've uploaded those audit logs and you can kind of scroll through them. I've put a little summary of what's in there just so you don't have to go through so many pages. Lewiston and Falmouth PD have both complied with those FOIA requests so far.
Chief Kilbride, I know that you're very involved in organizations in which encourage collaboration between different departments, and you know many chiefs of police across the state. And I'm wondering what you're hearing from others. I read, for example, that Bar Harbor has used these cameras for a lot of years. And I'm wondering if South Portland is an outlier, or if many police chiefs are finding that their communities are not happy with the use of these cameras.
Yeah, it's really political, and it's tough. I am embedded with the law enforcement community statewide, and I'm very proud of what we do, and they're all in it for the right reasons. They're all in it for public safety. They're all in it to stop something before it happens. And officers are, in, as you heard me say earlier, in greater risk. But we understand the political piece of it. And that's really kind of hard for us, right, when politics get involved in something that we look at as right and wrong. And we're sensitive to people's rights. The uniform, the badge I leave on my desk when I go home, I don't want people violating my rights. I love what Alicia does and folks like it, right? So there's a balancing piece to it. But there is that frustration where we all want to do in law enforcement the right thing. We want to make Maine safe. And so this is, forums like this is wonderful. Talk to your police departments, talk to your police chiefs, ask those difficult questions. Alicia, continue doing what you're doing. And I think we can get there.
All right. Well, I really appreciate all of you today to help us understand this boy, this issue has so many layers and that is so related to so many other things, such as artificial intelligence, that we're all trying to get our heads around. John Kilbride is chief of police for the town of Falmouth. Alicia Ray, policy fellow with ACLU Maine. And Elise Tipton, the mayor of South Portland. Today's sound engineer was Jess Miller. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.